The Rush Hour. Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Rush Hour, Rush Hour, Rush Hour.
Welcome to the all-new Rush Hour podcast. I'm Gus Warland.
I'm Jude Bolton.
And I'm Wendell Saylor.
Yeah, what's going to be a good show today, guys.
Massive show.
Absolute, yeah, I know.
One of the absolute the favourites of mine. You know, obviously the coach of the Sydney Roosters. We've got him on.
Oh, yeah, I know. You love him, I know.
So good.
You've got to
so
say, Dale, he'd be in the top three with Bellamy, Bennett, and Robinson. Are 100%. They the top of the tree?
Yes. But also, you've been hobbling around like a cripple. I can't wait to see what that's about.
It's not that interesting. It's a bit embarrassing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I can't wait.
We've got a politician coming in as well today. We've got the Treasurer of New South Wales talking about the billion-dollar package he's putting out to small business. So hopefully anyone listening who's got a small business might be able to pick up some tips on how to get hold of some of that money.
Matt Keen.
Yeah, Matt Keen. I'm that keen to listen to him.
Welcome to the Rush Hour on this very, very hot day right across Sydney. I tell you what, someone's just phoned in and said it's 35 degrees on the M5. It was 37 when our boss was coming in a little bit earlier today, but still well over 30 degrees absolutely everywhere. So please take care getting home, and because the heat can do strange things, can't it?
Oh, it's been sweating out my eyeballs today. But it's good to be here, lads, and I think we've got a massive show out here.
Yeah, it's a huge show today.
Reminds me of the sort of days we had pre-season training, though. We'd have to shuffle it forward.
I know exactly what you mean,
Jude. I know. I can see that too, mate.
And it Tell us about that.
Well, you'd have to have just the ice bars next to it, and you know, we'd have the ice vests and things, but you'd shuffle the training to early morning just so you're not out in the scorching heat. But it's been a hot one in Sydney today.
What about you, big fella? Pre-season training, NRL, what's it been like? Give us your sort of hottest day.
Oh, look, I think when mostly in Queensland, that like Wayne Bennett, he'd love to go up to like the hinterlands, you know, Canungra and that, the army sort of camps and that sort of stuff. He didn't care if it was, you'd go in the mornings, but he would set something in around middle of the day just for that mental toughness, you know. Like, I know it's changed a bit now because there's been a few more things brought in, but I think the hardest one we did, we went over, when the Perth Reds were over there, we went over there and did one, I think it was about 47, 48 degrees, and we had to train. No, that wasn't even the hardest part. The hardest part was we had to train with the SAS soldiers. Mate, I'm telling you, like, it was, you know, 1 in the afternoon, it was 3, it didn't mind, but they don't care. And then you had to push tires, and you just want to get
through. Anyone give up?
No. The weakest link. So you got to sort of, you know, if there was someone that's there, that's how you really bond. But I think the toughest thing was I didn't really like the water. Like, you know, like, that's not my strong suit, you know? But once we got in the water, we're going, oh, thank God. But you're forgetting we're in the rafts over there, and we're going out there offshore there at around
through the waves and all that stuff.
Yeah, so we're getting out there, and you know where there's little shipwrecks and all that sort of stuff, and all the boys have a bit of fun. Then and they're pushing each other off, and we're going, oh, this is fun. They're pushing me off, and I'm swimming between things. As we get off, the SAS bloke, one of the bosses, going, mate, just to let you guys know, around that area, that's where White Pointers are notoriously known. Didn't tell us that beforehand. Everyone's pushing each other off and we're having a bit of a joke. Oh, mate.
What about you in the heat?
Yeah, I suppose it reminds me, of when I was at Knox Grammar School, at about 26, 27 degrees, there'd be something across the PA system saying you don't have to wear your blazer home.
Believe me, guys,
I know exactly what you're going through.
Gus Warland, Jude Bolton, and Wendell Saylor. This is the Triple M Rush Hour. Our next guest has been in the starting lineup for the government for the last 10 years. Coming off the bench in 2017 to be Minister for Innovation. After a couple of solid seasons under Captain Gladys, he won the Best and Fairest Medal and was promoted to the Treasurer. Please welcome to the Rush Hour, Matt Keen.
Hey, Matty, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'll come on any time with an intro like that, James. Thanks for having me.
Mate, absolutely no dramas at all. Obviously, a big week for you. The Premier and yourself unveiling a $1 billion support package for small businesses in New South Wales. So many of our listeners are exactly those people. So we'd love just to get your thoughts on the package and how it all works.
Yeah, look, we know that the Omicron wave has had a big impact on our economy, but specifically on our small business sector. Those people that own cafes, bars, restaurants, hair salons, beauty parlours, they've really done it tough over the summer. So we wanted to be there to support them so they can keep their doors open. they can keep employing people, keep serving customers, and help get us through to the other side. So we're stepping up, and I've been calling on my friends in Canberra to help us out and throw a bit of money at the small business sector as well, so we can make sure we come out of this stronger.
Speaking of that, Matt, there's been that back and forth between yourself and Scott Morrison and Josh Frydenberg. You've been upset with the lack of support from the federal government and what they've been giving to small business, particularly in New South Wales as well. What did you request from them exactly, and what's been their response?
Look, we asked them to match us dollar for dollar. I mean, the federal government's been great in providing the JobKeeper payment program through the initial outbreak of the virus, which kept a lot of people in work, kept a lot of people employed. They stepped up to the plate with the JobSaver program during the Delta lockdown. But now we're in the Omicron period, and some sections of the economy are still doing it tough. And, you know, these are not just New South Wales businesses. They're Australian businesses. They pay their taxes to the Commonwealth government, and they need their Commonwealth government to stand up and support them at this time as well.
Mate, we know it's been tough for a lot of people. How do you come to a figure? You know, some people are saying, oh, it's a bit too late, but at least you're trying to do something and trying to get some families and businesses through.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So basically, we worked with the industry groups. We spoke to businesses on the ground. We worked with economists to come up with a package to make sure that we weren't just throwing money out the door. We were targeting that expenditure at those parts of the economy that needed it most. And that's why we've limited the support to businesses with a turnover of under $50 million that have experienced a downturn of 40% in the month of January. So what we want to do is help those businesses that are doing it tough because of staff shortages. We've seen that because of the outbreak of Omicron, and also a drop in consumer demand. A lot of people still aren't going out to restaurants because they don't feel safe to do so. So that's through no fault of their own. It's not because of a government shutdown. It's just because there's a lot of uncertainty out there. So as I said, we want to help these businesses keep the doors open because our small businesses in New South Wales, they're actually the biggest employer in the state collectively. We want to help them get through to the other side so we can turbocharge out of this.
We're talking to Matt Keane, the Treasurer of New South Wales. Matt, you're always a positive character. I've known you for years and you're always upbeat. You see things as an opportunity, which is why I think you've risen up through the ranks so well. Tell us a bit about yourself. You know, who do you support? Do you play sport, family man, all that sort of stuff? Let our listeners know who you really are.
Well, mate, I'm a bit starstruck on this show because growing up, I loved the Big Dell and Jude Bolton. So I'm a Dragons fan. And I have to say, I was a Swannies fan, but I've jumped on the bandwagon with the GWS Giants.
Oh,
so,
that's got to hurt.
I've headed west. They run a big support program up in my community up in Hornsby. So we're loving the Giants. The Dragons, hoping they can get their season on track this year. But other than that, I'm a very average cricketer. I'm a dad. I've got a two-year-old son, Thomas, who's we're still in the trenches at home trying to get through that. But other than that, that's a bit about me, gents.
Well, beautiful, mate.
Matt, every great city has a really vibrant CBD, and there was the Future of Sydney CBD report sort of released overnight or today. And how do you, intend or plan to breathe life into Sydney CBD?
CBD has been absolutely smashed because with people working from home, people aren't just coming into town. So it's a real struggle. One of the things that we're trying to do is revitalise the city to encourage people to get back in there, experience, you know, culture, art, restaurants, dining, all that kind of stuff. So we've got a series of events that will be planned in the coming months. There'll be a draw card to get people back into town and hopefully spend their money with those small businesses, with those restaurants, with those shops that are really struggling. So we'll be announcing some things in the coming period. But in the meantime, we're focused on making sure we get through this economic shock so that we can come out the other side even stronger than we went into it.
Good on you, Matty. The Matt Keane there, the Treasurer of New South Wales. We really appreciate you coming on the show, mate.
Coming up next, we're talking to Trent Robinson.
The Rush Hour. Gus, Jude and Wendell.
You want to talk to the best coach in the business? We're going to talk to this man.
Our next guest has coached over 10 years around the world, including for the Catalan Dragons.
So bonjour to our French listeners.
And here in Australia. In 2013, he became the youngest coach in the NRL, winning Coach of the Year and winning the Premiership. He's won a further two more, plus three minor premierships. So he's pretty good. Fulfilling our quota, getting enough chookies on to make sure Gus gets invited to at least six corporate boxes this year. Please welcome Trent Robinson.
G'day, Robbo. Welcome to the Rush Hour. How are you?
Hey, Gus. Dude,
Wendell. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Mate, good to hear from you, Robbo. And must be fantastic just being back in the groove. You've got your players back now. And one player in particular, Luke Keary, that everyone is hoping is going to be okay for round one and such an important part of our puzzle for trying to win another premiership.
Yeah, yeah, it'd be good to have Kez back. Yeah, you realise when you're getting back training how much you missed just the smarts and the speed of play and all of that that he offers. So, yeah, he's obviously had a foot sort of an issue coming back and getting his loading right. So, yeah, it'd be good to get him back in for round one.
Robbo, the formation that's going to be Keary and Sam Walker, and you've obviously been able to get some game time in Sam last year. From all reports, he's gained 5 or 6 kilos ahead of this season. He's still so young at 19. How much of an upside does this young man have?
Yeah, he's such, I mean, he was clearly the best ball player in his sort of generation of players. You know, everyone sort of knew him coming, his decision-making around how to play both sides of the field and the less structured parts of the game were awesome. So watching him come through and then giving him a really good taste last year, but he's put on some weight. And again, we've just got to keep developing him because he's a long, long-term player for us. So, yeah, I can't wait to see him sort of get out there and start playing again this year.
Well, I think the good thing about what Robbo's talking about there is, mate, Robbo is the perfect coach. I think him or Craig Bellamy for someone like young Sam Walker. I came through schoolboys with Ben Walker. I was 18. Ben Walker was 16. And let me tell you, I see a lot of Ben in Sam, the way he plays, but Ben is real humble and they would have made family decisions around, and I just think the Roosters and what they've done with him so far, the sky's the limit for the kid. And remember 2 years ago, I did a thing with Luke Keary, and Luke Keary was speaking very positively about a young bloke. It's hard for players of that calibre to be speaking about young kids like that. So I sat back and just watched, and yeah, you guys are doing good with him, Robbo.
Yeah, it's a hard one, Wendell, because like people come on and they get the highlights package. People want to see that every week for 80 minutes, whereas for young guys, you've got to let them play, but then also make sure that you're managing them so they have a long career and they get the tools that they need. Sammy doesn't need me to tell him how to see a short side.
Yep.
He needs us to sort of build a good defensive system around him. He needs sort of the good management of the long game, you know, how to finish games and how to manage big moments in games. So, yeah, trying to get that all in from sort of 18 to 21 is really key. And then he can take off and run his teams.
We lost some leadership last year with Boyd and Jake, but I think we managed it as best we could. We're very proud to be a Rooster member last year. And, of course, we've still got some leaders here, haven't we, with Teddy and JWH. Other blokes stepped up in the preseason, Robbo, and taken on some of that leadership role that Boyd and Jake left?
Yeah, I forgot that you're a Roosters supporter.
Injured, yeah.
Those three boxes are well in order for this year again.
Thanks, so, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, the leadership's a real key one because a few years ago, we had sort of six guys that were leading the way. Orbison, Friend, Cordner, Jarawira Hargraves, Cooper Cronk. Mm. You know, those guys were our leaders and then we lost them all except for Jazz. And so what we've got is this, you know, Teddy and Luke and Jazz as our captains. But then we've got a group coming through, your Victor Radleys, Nat Butchers, Lindsay Collins, Joey Manu, Angus Crichton. They're the next wave that need to step up and support those other leaders. So, yeah, we just had a vote the other day and those guys have come in. So we're looking forward to bringing on the next generation of leaders for us as well.
Hey, Robert, the All-Stars are pretty important to a fair few of the players. And, you know, I know with yourself and that too, like, you know, in clubland, there was a bit of, I suppose, conjecture around some of the clubs are reluctant to let players go. But you know what players are like. You know, I mean, Latrell was there for a couple of years. You've got Joey Manu. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it's important for them to go and play. You know, so we've had, you know, Joey and Jazz have had knee issues, so they can't play for the Maoris, but they talk about it a lot. It was important to get it back out there again. And I know people, Wendell, you'll know better than I, that they're not counted as internationals, but I think they're the Maoris and the Indigenous team. That's more important than having a national borders put around it. That's a whole culture that people want to play for. So I think it's important. I would have, to be honest, I would have thought should have been the week later. I felt like, you know, we had 8 and 10 weeks off rather than 6 and 8. And then we've had guys just come back from COVID and get back into it. If we had an extra week, 6 weeks, I feel like it should have been played on that first trial weekend. It would have been much smarter for everybody to get
over COVID, get some training back into the guys and have it that week later, I think we would have had a lot more guys play.
That's fantastic, Robbo. Thanks so much for joining us and giving us a bit of your time. Give a love to all the boys and hope that everyone gets through the training as well as possible and cannot wait for the new rugby league season to start up.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
Jude, a couple of your kids went back to school yesterday and it got
today,
you thinking.
Today.
And how did they get through the rapid test all right?
Yeah, got through last night. My wife tested both of them last night and okay. All clear to get them off to school.
But that got you thinking of something when you were just a little tacker.
Well, you know, one of the big things of kids when they go to school is the show and tell period. And, you know, you get that excitement of carrying something in and, you know, showing it off to all the friends and
and
really, you know, just getting them all focused on you and things like that. And I've had my daughters have asked for random things to take in, like, they wanted to take in a live chicken one day just to the class. And I was like, I just shut it down. You're not taking a chicken.
But you
in.
Do have chickens in your backyard. That's an easy thing for them to think about.
Yeah, but they're not taking it in to show their class anyway. Okay. So they've tried to get things across me a few times. But it just got me thinking about me going back in. And I would have been grade 2 or 3. And my folks had been over to Europe and they'd visited a place in Toledo, Spain. And that's famous for weaponry and making these forged steel swords. So mum and dad had brought a replica forged steel sword back home.
Mm.
And they actually sent me off to show and tell one day with the sword in grade 2 or 3. My mum and dad are both school teachers, so they should have known better. Like Johnny Bolton and Rosalie Bolton. I don't know how they thought this was a good idea, but I can remember going in and pulling it out of like my school bag, but it actually hung out the end of it.
Yeah, it would have.
And the only thing that their idea of safety was to put like basically a wine cork bottle, like a cork on the end of the pointy end of the sword. But like kids are holding it and wielding it and going, how good is this? And I'm pulling it out and showing it and saying, look at all the ornate sort of handle of it. And I just can't believe that I was actually able. You'd get thrown out of the school. Like, you can't take peanuts into a school now, let alone a sword. So, I don't know, it got me thinking of what are those bizarre things did you take into show and tell or have your kids gone off to take into show and tell?
G'day, Damien. What did you see at show and tell, brother?
Yeah, no, it wasn't me. It was some good friends of mine there. Little fella, he grew up pretty wild. His father was a shearing contractor. He grew up in the sheds. Anyway, the teachers told him when he went for his introduction, you know, just put in your bag what you need, something to eat, your hat, your sunscreen, and anything you might feel as a necessity. Anyway, he turned up to school with a cigarette lighter and a stubby holder.
What an absolute champion. We love him. Stay on the line, brother. Mark in Newcastle, what did you bring to show and tell?
My father had an accident, severed all of his nerves and tendons in his left hand. He'd go to the pub. He couldn't use his hand. His index finger wouldn't bend, so he kept on knocking over his schooner glass. So he said to the doctor, lock the bastard off. He took it home in a plastic jar and alcohol, and my brother took the show and tell when he was in third class.
He took his malmoneering.
Wow.
Coming up, I'm going to tell you some of the worst injuries I've seen over my career. But first, speaking of injuries, what has happened to your foot, Gussie?
Oh, my goodness.
The Rush Hour on Triple M.
And, boys, you might have noticed that I'm not wearing any shoes today.
Yeah, why is that? Where's your ugly Crocs?
Well, the reason is I can't even get my foot into the Crocs because I got bitten by a spider.
Oh, my goodness.
You can't get them into the Crocs, surely. Mate, you can.
Mate, have a look at the foot,
they're like
mate.
Aircraft carriers.
Mate, well, don't forget we're on radio, mate. So
no, but I'm telling you blokes to look because I'm explaining it to you guys. Have a look how big my ankle is swollen. It's like I've gone over on it.
Yeah, it reminds
you see those two fang marks right on the ball of my ankle?
Oh, yeah.
There's a pool table missing its leg in there. Cankles.
Mate, where's the love, big fella? I'm in pain here.
Yeah, where's the love, mate?
My head's throbbing.
Reminds me of the Nutty Professor, you know, Sherman Klump and that.
I love Eddie Murphy.
Oh, so do I.
Anyway, so I was in bed the other night by myself.
That's a horrible thought.
Because naked, just to give you another little thought as well. As everyone's driving home on the motorway now, just think of me naked lying in bed down on the northern beaches.
No.
And I didn't feel the bite, but I just sort of rolled over at one stage and I banged my ankle and I went, God, that hurts. And then I couldn't even put any weight on it. And I went to the bathroom and I looked and I could see the fang marks and I could see the redness. And I was like, I've been bitten by a bloody spider here. So, you know, we talked about it the other week. The spiders are on the move at the moment.
They are.
They are on the move with this weather, the funnel webs. Well, I'd be dead if it was a funnel. Yeah. But it could be a redback or it could be a white tip.
Yes.
White or, tail. Yeah.
White tail?
Or white tip if you want to hear.
Yeah, sure. Let me give you a tip. So I'm in pain here today.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, there's got to be people that have been bitten by weird things, bitten in weird areas. Mick and Parramatta, where were you bitten? Where, brother?
Hey, boys, how are we going?
Yeah, good mate.
Yeah, good, brother.
Mate, I was driving to Bulladealer with me mate in a truck. He was driving and he says to me, mate, wind your window up. I said, what for? And he goes, there's a swarm of bees coming. So he can see them in the horizon. So I wound the window up and I opened up that little triangle window on the side there in the truck, right?
Yeah.
And he said, I'd be closing that if I was you, and it's stupid. And I said, no, don't worry about it, mate. And I'm sitting there with my legs up with my footy shorts on.
Oh.
And 2 seconds later, mate, I've got an old bee in the groin, haven't I?
Oh, stung him.
And I'm trying to get the stinger out, and he just kept laughing his guts up. And I said, pull over, mate, pull over. And he's going, nah. And as I'm trying to get the stinger out, I'm actually squeezing more venom in. And I ended up with a massive lump on the groin. I could hardly walk for a couple of days. But he thought it was quite hilarious, boys, mate, quite hilarious.
Take away the pain and keep the swelling. G'day, Karen, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good, Karen. Thank you. Where were you bitten? What bit you?
So I was bitten on the chin one night, and I didn't know what it was, and it was Valentine's Day. And a couple of days later, I went to the hospital because it was growing like a second chin on my chin. And they said that a white tip had actually laid eggs underneath the skin of your chin. And when they popped it, it was like spiders just running out everywhere.
Have you got a video? We need to see the video.
Yuck. Thank you, Karen. What about Hayden in Freshwater? G'day, Haydos.
G'day. G'day, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate.
G'day. I was in the surf one day, and I was duck diving under a wave. Mm-hmm. I just had my boardies on, and a blue bottle slipped into my boardies and went down the crack and stayed in my boardies. It was probably the worst pain I've ever felt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't take the boardies off because I was on a crowded beach in Curly. So I had to rush to the shower, wash myself off, couldn't find the blue bottle, so I didn't stay in there, luckily.
Wow.
But, yeah, for a few hours there, it was probably one of the worst pains ever.
Oh, that is real pain. Good Thanks on, for mate. The call, mate. What about Luke? G'day, Luke. What bit you and where?
Hello.
Hello, G'day, Luke.
G'day, Luke.
There you go, mate. I got attacked by a few paper wasps.
Oh, yeah.
Paper wasps. Where'd you get bitten?
Mate, all over the nutsack, all over the old fella.
Oh, that's painful.
A few on the chest, a few on the forearm, a couple on the back of the neck.
Jesus. How many bites did you get, Lukey?
Mate, funny story. We went away for Christmas and the old truck, I don't know if you know trucks, but a Volvo door. You got to squeeze it, put your hand up underneath it. Christmas, the paper wasps had laid a nest up into the door handle, so I squashed the whole nest in my hand, see?
Oh.
And then as I realised what I've done, I've taken off, I've got the gear off because they're all in my shirt, and as soon as I got the gear off, they just swarmed me. I didn't realise they just kept biting, see?
Oh, you poor thing, Luke. How long did it take you to recover from that?
Oh, I went to hospital, but there wasn't that much they could do for me, really. Like, I wasn't allergic or anything. I looked like I had forearms on me like Popeye. But, wow. Mate, the best thing was I kept a little bit of swelling in the old fella.
That's
a true story, mate.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour.
We've talked injuries today a little bit, Jude, but this is some of the worst you've ever seen.
Yeah, over a 15-year career in the AFL, you sort of get to see some pretty horrific things, and particularly AFL, a lot of knee injuries and shoulder injuries. I remember Leo Barry's shoulder used to pop out during the game, and Ty Keneally had almost put it back in while he was playing, his defender, fellow defender. So, but the one that really shocked me probably the most was Gary Rowan when he played for the Swans, and now he plays for the Cats. But he had a broken leg in 2012, and I still remember the sound that reverberated around the Churchill Brawongal stand when Lindsay Thomas sort of slid in. And it changed the game, actually, because the contact below the knees rule came in after this incident. He slid in, and his leg snapped, and it was like this cracks went around the SCG. But I always go to like sportsman's nights, and people go, "Oh, what are the worst injuries you've seen?" and things like that. But two that spring to mind that were more bizarre than terrible. But the first one was a young man by the name of Jonathan Simpkin, and Joffy Simpkin ended up at the Hawthorn, your Hawks, and he got hit on the ear one day, and it split open his ear. But over the next bit, he's obviously not that clean or something like that. It got infected, and his ear swelled up, Del. It was elephantitis of the ear almost. The ear lobe was just like so big. And he came in, it was a pretty hot day in Sydney, and he had like this beanie on. And we're going, "Why are you wearing a beanie?" Because he was actually trying to hide it. He was hanging it over the top.
Yeah.
And players are ruthless. I remember Mickey O'Loughlin calling him Lobie Bryant, and you're the reason for global warming, and you know, Lobie One Kenobi and stuff like that.
You Swannies.
But the worst one was Darren Creswell, and Creswell played about 244 games for the Swans, and I was only a young man at the time, and the Swans gym used to be down below, just as you come off the ground, down below, and so that we'd all be doing our weights and things like that. And he was doing lat fly. So he's taking these 20 kilo dumbbells. And he's taking them out like that. And
we're on radio, mate.
So. All he did, he went out like this, and he came back and we heard this clang, clang sound. And the piercing sound, it sounded like a squealing pig. It was like, he'd caught his scrotum. Between the two dumbbells and he dropped the dumbbell, so they've clanged on the ground, and he's run straight to the doctor's room to get checked out, and it was an instant bruise. He was like millimetres from losing a nut. But the thing was, 25 guys in the weights room ran straight after him to all look at him as well. No one cared.
What about you, mate, rugby league?
Yeah, I think
you would have seen some.
Yeah, I've seen some. I've seen a lot of bad injuries, but the worst one was an old player that you guys used to follow. Mate, you sort of forget he was a pretty fair player. Richie Barnett.
Oh yeah,
mate, very talented, mate, unbelievable on the air. You know, obviously I think Captain New Zealand,
at Kiwi Centre,
Fullback. Yeah. So anyway, you know when there's little grubbers that go on the ground, and Joey, I think, put one of these grubbers in one day, or you know, playing for Australia versus New Zealand, and then as you do, you get your head over the ball as you do in AFL. And I'm not thinking anything of it. I'm sort of looking at the ball. He's sort of looking at the ball. We hit heads. Our heads clash together. Oh. He gets that part. I don't know what you call it. Just like, you know, like just above your forehead. Nose. Yeah, just sort of.
Between your eyes, above, just above your nose.
Yes. And on me, it's probably the hardest part of my head. So as we hit, I sort of get up and just sort of shake it off. And I look at him, and blood is just coming from his like nose, both his nose. And his face is like fractured. It's gone in.
Oh.
So what his doctor actually said, or when he got taken off, they said it was equivalent to a car crash, So, and this will be worse. So when he went and got operated on, I rung his missus to make sure that see if he's okay. And apparently, at some stage, he died for like 30 to 60 seconds on the table or something. Richie Barnett. Yeah, true story. And then when I saw him at the Nines a few years back, we did a little story on it. And he goes, mate, yeah, it was true. So,
my goodness.
He's looking good, mate. One of the best-looking men in rugby league.
Yeah. It's a good night for footy, Richie Barnett. Beautiful. Yeah. Up next is Del's Big Set of Six.
Lucky someone in the rush hour can count. This is Del's Big Set of Six.
There we are. The Big Set of Six, the computer.
We love a sting.
Eventually didn't let us down. Let's go, big fella.
Right, tackle one, Del. The teams are up on our socials. The all-star teams have been named with some of the big names: David Fifita, Josh Adokar, Nicho Hynes, Katoni Staggs, Alex Johnson and the like.
Yeah, it's good.
All taking part. How special is this game for you?
Yeah, well, I think it's something close to my heart, but I think also, I know people have said, there's no Cody Walker, no Latrell Mitchell, no Joseph Manu. Obviously there's players that are injured. Obviously, this time of the season, as Trent Robinson said, he would like to be pushed back a little bit. But it's a special occasion for these young players coming in. You ask someone like Nicho Hynes, he's been watching it for the last, 11 years now. 2010 was the inaugural game. And I'm excited too, because it gives the next wave or the next generation of players coming through. But also, you're playing for your family and your culture. It's a passion, you know. And for a preseason game, it's not a preseason game. It's just, it is just a war out there. It's great.
Tackle two, Jason Demetriou has had a cheeky shot at Wayne Bennett with the poaching of the Bunnies already beginning for the Dolphins. How big is the lure to play for Wayne Bennett?
Yeah, look, I think Wayne is very good at what he does. Wayne doesn't have to go and chase players, you know, and I think player managers obviously have a good rapport with Wayne, you know, and then also players will go, you know what, I'm here for another year. I wouldn't mind going, you know, to a new franchise. Could you probably call Wayne? So there's that understanding. It happened when Wayne was at the Dragons. There was an understanding there, but then obviously Bo Scott and Darius Boyd, oh, Darius Boyd followed him everywhere. Yeah. But that's what happens sometimes. That's the lure of a world-class coach like Wayne Bennett.
All right, tackle three, the Eels' Dylan Brown is allowed to sign with other clubs from November 1. How crucial is it that Parramatta get him signed up? Because particularly after losing Reid Marnie, Papali, Nikaore and Kafusi.
Yeah, I remember when he first came on the scene and his manager was talking about, you know, if another club offered him a big deal. But I think for Parramatta Reels, they need to make sure that Moses and him, they need to go to the next level this year. Look, I got no doubt he's a talented player, but I think he's got to mature and stand up now and really, you know, stamp his authority on this club. But I'd sign Dylan Brown. I reckon there's a lot of upside to him.
Yeah.
But, and he's very talented on and off the field as well.
He could fit in at the Roosters somewhere.
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course.
Maybe play for the Bears.
Yeah.
We spoke to Trent Robinson today. Who do you think's going to have the bigger career, Joseph Suaalii or Sammy Walker, or maybe both of them together?
I reckon both of them together, but I think Suaalii showed last year that sometimes, even as an outside back, you might have all talent in the world, but you sort of need a couple of preseason or two, and also all that pressure that was on him. Young Sam Walker obviously was a bit light. I think Trent Robinson said it then, you know. Mm. He's got to bulk up a bit, but I think Sam Walker's going to have the bigger career. I just think the way that he can get a team around, you know. Just
some big moments already.
Just his IQ for a young player, you know, I think, yeah, I'm a fan.
Big raps from Robbo, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was
him?
Massive. See how he spoke about him? That's a, you know, big ups there.
Absolutely. What about Adam Reynolds, mate? He's been named the Broncos captain.
I think it's a right decision by Kevy. I look at those players at the Broncos. Some of those players, you just got to let, you know, obviously just play football because they need someone who knows how to get a team around, who in big moments, you know, the pressure, when it comes in, Adam Reynolds can just settle them down. I know a lot of people last couple of years are giving Cody Walker a massive rap, but, you know, Adam Reynolds getting that South Sydney team around the last couple of years, I reckon he'll be great for the Broncos, and his leadership on and off the field will be pivotal.
I still can't believe that he's not going to be
yeah,
at South.
Mate, we're going to be like...
Looks so strange when he runs out, yeah. I think, against South in round one.
That's going to be great, yeah.
Unbelievable. What about tackle number six? Realistically, what can the Bulldogs fans think about this season? Unbelievable recruitment. Should they go out and get some finals tickets?
I still think that this squad is looking okay.
Yes or no?
No. I don't think they'll make the eight. Okay. They've bought well, but I still think there's a lot of work to do there. You've got to buy into the culture of the team, and I know that Gus Gould might be there, but still, it's a long way to go. That's it for today's podcast. We'll be back tomorrow. For more of the show, you can catch us live on radio from 4 p.m. on Triple M.